bum bum ba dum bum ba dum bum bum ba dum bum bum ba da dum bum ba dum bum ba dum bum bum ba dum bum bum. Welcome to Everyday Musicality, the podcast in which we discuss all things related to Gordon's music learning theory and how it can help unlock the inner musician that lives inside of all of us. I'm your host, Heather Scholdeis, music educator and faculty member for the Gordon Institute for Music Learning.
In this episode, I have a conversation with the co-authors of the brand new method book, Audiate, Play Guitar Through Audiation. Hello and welcome to the Everyday Musicality Podcast. I'm back this week with a new episode, albeit without my normal singing voice still. I do have an appointment scheduled with the University of Michigan Vocal Health Center. That's with a laryngologist, a speech and language pathologist, and a voice specialist, so it will be very thorough. The only downside is that they only do these intake appointments on Wednesdays, and so they can't get me in until mid-April. Luckily, today's episode does not require me to sing. Before I get into today's topic, I wanted to take a moment to give a shout out to new Patreon supporter Darren W. Darren was also kind enough to reach out to me via email to offer support and advice for my vocal struggles, so thank you as well for that, Darren. It really is so neat to get to connect with people all around the world through this podcast, like connecting with Darren in Australia. If you appreciate the work that goes into creating this podcast and would like to show your support, you can visit patreon.com/everydaymusicality. Also, a quick note, if you notice that the sound quality in this episode is not great, that is because I am not recording in my closet with all my good equipment. I'm just recording right onto my laptop in my home office. So my apologies if it's not fantastic. Now, let's get into today's topic, which is guitar. GIA Publications has recently released a brand new guitar method called Audiate, Play Guitar Through Audiation. And I was lucky enough to connect with not one, not two, but all three co-authors of those new materials. They are Enrique Andino, Stephen Gunter, and Michael Vike. I first met them back in 2010 when they were participants in the very first GIML PDLC I ever taught as a GIML faculty member. And they've been working on their method, applying the principles of MLT to guitar instruction ever since. Well, now their hard work has finally paid off and their MLT-based guitar method is out in the world. And you have an opportunity to win a free copy through our next giveaway. GIA Publications sponsors this podcast by supplying the materials for our giveaways, and they have been kind enough to provide a bundle that includes the Teacher's Guide, Student Book 1, and Student Book 2. This bundle is valued at $80, but you can win it for free. Just listen to the end of this episode when I'll tell you how you can enter to win that free bundle of the Audiate, Teacher's Guide, and Student Books. Now, let's get to my conversation with the co-authors of the Audiate Guitar Method, Enrique Andino, Stephen Gunter, and Michael Vike. Well, I am thrilled to introduce three special guests today, Enrique Andino, Stephen Gunter, and Michael Vike. Welcome, Enrique, Stephen, and Michael. Thank you so much for making time to be on the podcast. Could you just start off by telling the listeners a little bit about yourselves? Who are you and what do you do?
Go ahead, Enrique. She said your name first.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for inviting us, Dr. Scholdeis. We appreciate it. My name is Enrique Andino. I'm originally from Puerto Rico. I moved to the state of Texas in 2008. And I studied with Dr. Lang at UT Arlington, and that's where I heard about music learning theory and Gordon's work for the first time. And I was teaching private lessons at the time when I was doing my master's degree. So I started applying a lot of what I was learning. And then I went to South Carolina. I met you. I met Dr. Gordon. For the elementary general certification, and then kept applying more of what I had learned throughout my with my students, and here we are, almost 13 years later. So that's a little bit about me in a nutshell there. I think you asked where we're teaching. Right now I'm teaching at Dallas. I live in Dallas with my wife. I have a son now, and I teach modern band, fourth and fifth grade general music, introduction to modern band, and then sixth through eighth grade modern band. So I teach guitar, bass, drums, keyboard, music technology, songwriting, et cetera, et cetera. So thank you.
That's great. I'll have to reach out to you at some point. My institution is working on some curriculum revision that's just about approved, and we're starting a new music education technology and modern methods course. So I'd love to hear more about what you do with modern band sometime.
Absolutely.
How about Stephen? Would you like to go next?
Sure. My name is Stephen Gunter. I've been teaching chorus and guitar in South Carolina for the last 15 years. I discovered MLT through Dr. Carol Kruger and Wendy Valerio, Dr. Wendy Valerio at University of South Carolina. And it was at the Gimmel level one certification that I met these guys. And we casually talked about, you know, developing this guitar book. And, you know, like we said, here we are. That's pretty much where we landed. So I am really happy to have spent these last 12 years with these guys developing this book and this resource for, new teachers and old teachers alike. And we're excited to get to share it with you today.
Thanks, Stephen. And how about Michael?
Yeah, I'm Michael Weick, and I live in Germany, in Münster, Germany. And I've been studying here also, doing my diploma in guitar pedagogy. And now I teach here in my own guitar teaching studio. And I met the MLT first when I wrote my diploma thesis. And a professor at my university talked to me because I had a book from an old piano player, Margit Barrault. She wrote a book about oral learning and understanding in the beginning of the 20th century. And I wanted to write about that book. And he said, oh, why don't you go and get something more actual? Take a look at Gordon's work and music learning theory. And that's how I got to know that. And then I dived into that and read all I could get, and finally went to one of the Gimmel workshops where I met Enrique and Stephen in 2010. Yeah.
Great. Well, each of you briefly mentioned when you started getting into music learning theory, but that's a question I always like to ask guests on the podcast, because I think it's fascinating to hear sort of people's before and after experiences, and kind of oftentimes music learning theory has tended to sneak up on people and they didn't expect to encounter something that would change their path. And then here we are. So is there anybody else who would like to share anything more about how you first discovered MLT? Maybe that initial reaction?
For me, it was in my undergraduate degree. I actually didn't have any formal music training before college, and decided I wanted to be a music teacher instead of an English teacher. And I was really, really bad at like sight reading, and I was great at theory. I mean, all the knowledge part, I was great at English and reading and, you know, think, you know, when I read a book, I could hear the words in my head, all of that kind of stuff. I didn't know what to call it at the time, but I struggled. And then when I went to USC and got Dr. Valerio and Dr. Kruger, it exploded this whole new world of like possibility for me. So I was really, really fresh and really new. I was a musical baby when I was in my, like, I think 21st, 21 or 22. When I was introduced to the MLT kind of methodology, and then the way that they used it to inform their teaching. And within like a year or two, I was just an avid sight reader, and just could just pick up a piece of music and do things I never thought I could do before. And so it really made a, you know, believer out of me in terms of this is a great path. I think I've seen a lot of people get introduced to it, and it just kind of can be all of a sudden very sudden for people, like, oh no, if I adopt this methodology, it's going to chain me down to one way of doing things or something. And I just don't think people realize that it's really liberating. It's the kind of the opposite. It lets them open a world of doing things in a sequential way, sure, but the way that every teacher adapts it and the way that you adapt it for each kid is really different and really wonderful. And so that was really my whole introduction to MLT, which is why, even though I've taught middle school and high school all my career, I attended all of the Gimel elementary workshops and went to the elementary sessions when it came time to do something like MLT related. I was often the only middle school teacher there at the time, or high school teacher there, but it didn't matter to me. Like, it really was important. So that was my introduction.
That's terrific. And I really appreciate how you mentioned how liberating it was when you discovered music learning theory and how it opened up that whole world of possibilities. That's exactly why Dr. Gordon always stressed before he passed that music learning theory is not a teaching method, right? It's not telling us step by step exactly what to do, how to do it. That's up to us, how we implement his theoretical framework of MLT, which for some people can be pretty intimidating because there are lots of possibilities. But once you wrap your head around it, it's so amazing what it opens up. Thanks, Stephen. Anybody else want to share anything more about their MLT discovery?
Just quickly, that my experience was similar to Stephen's, actually. I just decided that I had this crazy idea. I want to study music. I was like, senior in high school. My dad is a lawyer. My brother's a lawyer. Everybody in my family, everybody's a lawyer. I was expected to become a lawyer, but I was, I don't know, having this crazy thoughts that I wanted to study music. So I decided to major in music, a Bachelor of Arts in Music, but it was not really music education, and it was just very general. And I was taking classical guitar throughout college. So I thought maybe I want to do classical guitar for my master's, but I didn't really major in classical guitar either. So I was like really lost. So I just like, I had some family here in Texas. So I'm like, let me try Arlington. Let me try Texas, see how it goes. And then, so it was like a finding really a path for me, because I didn't really know what I was going to do. So finally, when I started learning about audiation, and it was just like a huge revelation for me, just like, I don't think I'd be here in Texas if it wasn't for Gordon's work. And in this book, actually, really, probably would have moved back to Puerto Rico and maybe go to law school or something. So this kind of kept me here and throughout these years. And now I'm, been doing this for many, many years, and I really love it. I enjoy it. And, understanding that I can help students in a way that I was not able to help myself when I was younger, you know, that I didn't have that knowledge. It's just very liberating, like Stephen said, and it just feels great, you know.
That's fascinating. So cool to hear how it seems like it was just a complete serendipitous moment that you happened to end up and meet Diane Lang, and now here you are. Yeah.
Absolutely.
How about Michael? Would you like to share anything more about how you came across MLT?
Sure. I was always curious about when I saw someone listening to a song or to music and he could play it right away or do it right away. And I was always I wanted to do that too, because that was so fascinating for me. And I started learning guitar and music, like classical guitar teaching, private lessons, and I didn't know how to do such stuff that I listened to a song from the radio and I could play it. So this was like magic for me. And when I started becoming a teacher, I wondered how I could develop that for myself also, but also for my students. And so I started looking around what possibilities are there. And when I read Gordon's Dr. Gordon's book, it was like a revelation for me. This treasure of ideas and of principles and things you can go to when something doesn't work. So yeah, I just was drawn into it and wanted to apply it for myself also, so I can develop that ability. And it's not that I am already there where I want to be, but I can do so much more now, and I can hear and understand so much more music only through what I learned for audiation and through audiation, that making music is so much more fun and playing guitar also than it was before.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for emphasizing that. I think that's one of the really wonderful things about music learning theory, is how much it does for our own musicianship, even as the teacher, in addition to helping develop our students' musicianship.
Yeah. I think that can often be a scary thing for teachers as well, because you kind of confront what you're not really great at. You know, I know for me, you know, trying to do music all of a sudden out of nowhere, I wrestled with that for 2 years. Like, I don't even know if I can do this. I didn't know what middle C was, you know, and I'm like, just felt this pull to do this thing. No one in my family was a musician. You know, we didn't grow up in a musical household. But I'd go around the house just singing whatever I heard, you know. And so it's really scary, I think, when you introduce this new thing, especially for teachers that are coming out of their undergraduate. They've just spent all this time learning and applying themselves, and they feel like, I should be able to go out to the world and prove myself and do great things. And, you know, they're then confronted with things they don't understand yet. And that was one of the biggest driving forces for us to talk with each other every Sunday for 12 years. You know, just how do we help people? How do we remove a layer of worry for like young guitarists or musicians that want to teach guitar that maybe don't know all that much about guitar, or young guitarists that want to teach but don't know all that much about music learning theory? Like, what's some reference or tool we can give to those teachers?
Yeah, let's go ahead and get into that. That's the main reason why I wanted to have the three of you on, is because you recently released your MLT-based guitar method called Audiate. And first of all, congratulations to you on that accomplishment. It's so exciting, and I'm so glad that is out in the world. So could you tell us a little bit about the process for how your Audiate guitar method came to be? How did that evolve? It's been, you know, as you said, almost 13 years since the three of you met. So can you tell us a little bit about that process?
Sure. We met at the Gimmel workshop in South Carolina, and we didn't plan to do anything like that. But Dr. Gordon was also there teaching the theory parts, and he approached each of us asking us, because he knew that we were teaching guitar, and he asked us if we would be interested to teach, if we would be interested to write a guitar method, because there is no guitar method at the moment in terms of MLT. And I mean, I for myself thought, yeah, that would be interesting, but I mean, I on my own, I'm just starting to learn MLT. And then as we did more things together in the workshop, Enrique and Steven and me, it was working really good. And didn't we also were in the same room where we stayed?
Yeah, and, I think so.
And then we just, yeah, kind of friendship developed, and we went on meeting every week, every Sunday via Skype, because I flew back to Germany like 2-3 weeks later. And then we started laying out all the foundations of the method and what would be important for us to teach from a technical guitaristic point of view, and of course from an MLT point of view, and from a classroom point of view. So we have all that integrated in the method. And Dr. Gordon did help us and assist us and support us with the creation of the MLT-based stuff.
Yeah, I think it's really neat that three, you know, teachers from around the world, like completely different places, just happened to come to South Carolina for that Gimel workshop. And I don't think we've actually met in person since then, although I've watched Michael's children grow. He's watched us get each other get married, you know, married and children, you know, all that has come out of this wonderful. I think we started on Skype and went to Zoom, and Zoom got more reliable. I mean, we really have lived this kind of neat thing out, and we each have very different experiences that we brought to the table in terms of the MLT. Like Michael and Enrique teach a lot more guitar than I do because I'm also choir. But I had the MLT undergrad experience coming into the Gimel workshop. So I think you're right, Michael, we roomed together and we just started talking after Gordon approached us, and we were like, you know what, let's try this thing. And us being young, we're like, you know, it'd probably only take like 2 or 3 years, right? And, you know.
Yeah, we definitely didn't think it would take so long. I think Michael was the first one to get married, right? And then Steven, I think I was the last one. You know, each of us as kids, I think Michael was first, and Steven and I. So, we've just had this friendship for so long. And I did meet Michael at Berlin when 2016 briefly. I was just, yeah, before I got married, I was traveling and we met, but I don't think we've met up with Steven in person, but I don't think it feels any different because we've just had such frequent contact throughout the years. But yeah, like Steven and Michael said, you know, three people from three different backgrounds, you know, we were naive. It definitely was going to take a long time to come up with something like this. And we were starting our MLT journey back then in a lot of ways. So yeah, we're just glad that we're here and that we were able to publish it, and very excited for the future.
Oh, I love hearing the story of how you've all gone through your lives and kept in touch. That's so cool. And I'm also really impressed that you made this guitar method happen, even, you know, with the amount of time that it took. I've been involved in some projects before where I know how easy it is to have a great, exciting idea at the beginning, and then, you know, life gets busy and you have kids or things happen and, you know, it kind of falls off the radar. So what do you think it was that kept the three of you really moving forward on this? What kept you determined and motivated?
Michael is a great organizer. And for a number of the middle years, he really kept us organized and going. Enrique is a great encourager. You know, I think we got to year 8 when most of the book was really written, and we all fell off the wagon a little bit. We had just gotten married or kids or something. I think I had moved. A lot had happened in life. But I think the thing that kept bringing us all back was the amount of really careful thought put in to help teachers and hopefully provide them with resources, and the thought that we just couldn't leave this to not go. We couldn't, you know, not go all the way through. And in fact, what we didn't know is we had developed basically two books along the way, because we were just churning out these sequences, these suggested sequences for people, for just everything we could tie in. And I think at the end of the day, it came down to like a why we were doing it, you know, more than anything. Like, why would we all three feel a need to really get information out into the hands of other people? Why would people want MLT, which we talked about already? what it did for us, you know, but like what it can do for other people, why people would want a resource like this book and how it would help them in the classroom. Like those things were all things that really drove us forward. And we saw, I think, the biggest difference for all of us, especially me, was just seeing my young students, many of which I started in third grade, you know, fourth grade, fifth grade, and kept going through middle school, but using this with them and just seeing their tremendous growth and going, I really would like other people to have this resource, you know, that we have in our hands. I think at the end of the day, that's really what drove us to the kind of the finish line, you know, in terms of getting it published and getting out there. But really now it's like a big question of why other people might want to use it. Like what could it do for their teaching or for their guitar studio? Or how could they even adapt it for other instruments that are similar to guitar? Because all of those things are big possibilities. And kind of exciting for the growth of the students, for those other teachers, or for the teachers themselves.
Yeah, so could you talk a bit about why this resource is so valuable to the guitar world? Why is this MLT-based method valuable? What do you think it brings to the table that other approaches or methods for teaching guitar don't?
I can take this one. So when Gordon talked to us, he was, I think he was excited about doing something for guitar, because I remember him saying that he thought that guitar people would get it, you know, because usually guitar comes from a culture of more playing by ear, not the classical guitar necessarily, but, you know, just a folk guitar, rock guitar, popular guitar, right, which is the mainstream. And so he was excited about doing something for guitar for that reason. And I think he was right in the sense that, yes, there's a culture of playing by ear in the guitar world, but that does not mean that you have an understanding of audiation or skill learning at all, right? So in my own teaching, for me, one of the most important things is this skill learning sequence that I find the most valuable in about music learning theory, because you could use, like Steven said, MLT in many different ways. You could use our book in many different ways, but just knowing what skill level you're teaching, how to organize yourself, and it's just something that I thought it was really magical to me, and it is still magical to this day. I think educators, traditional educators, they know a lot about Bloom's taxonomy, and they're always trying to use Bloom's taxonomy in their teaching. But I think, you know, not just guitar teachers, but music educators in general, just the skill learning sequence, if we would be more aware of it, what we're doing, why we're doing it, what level of skill we want to teach, how we want to get there, it just makes a huge difference. And I think that's something that's missing in guitar teaching. That I was missing in my guitar teaching. I was using our oral approach to some extent with some of my students, but in a totally disorganized way. So just the skill learning sequence, to start with that, I think is a huge game changer. And having it applied already in our book, having a guide of how to use it is a great tool to start. So
I'm going to jump in on the end of what you were saying, because two of the authors here speak two different languages. So this is a little hypocritical for me, because I speak one language. I have a little bit of German. Michael, he lets me try to speak German sometimes. the big draw for me for MLT is really language acquisition. And all this research that's gone into language acquisition, and how it applies over to MLT, learning the phonemes, getting the vocabulary of sound down, the patterns, all of that, so that people can really actually think of or hear the music in their head. That's a big, big draw for really any musician, I think. And it's really the gateway to reading well, to doing any of the other things well, is that ability to audiate, which, I mean, is why we eventually named our guitar book Audiate, A Guitar Method. That was a big driving force. We wanted, that's that first word is like the whole reason for the book or the resource or the one sequence. And we chose to use direct instruction. So teacher does, student does in each lesson, because just like a lot of research has gone into language acquisition for direct instruction to help young students read well. And that also applies to music. And we thought, let's make it really simple and really straightforward for teachers. And so even the way that the book is sequenced in terms of each step, teacher does, student does, then do this next, then do this next, and the way it's all tied together is just one really efficient way of teaching the skills that we want them to teach. And I say efficient because you can certainly still teach these other skills, but as a teacher, I look at it like, if I'm a disorganized, like Enrique was saying before he got organized using MLT, if I'm disorganized with my approach to teaching oral skills or you know, visual skills, then I'm just kind of like inefficient. I think at the end of the day, I can still have great kids. I can still have wonderful performers. It can still kind of luck out with a kid that maybe I skipped all these steps and that they can still tie the pieces in themselves because they just have that skill. But for most of my students, I want to be real careful, and I want to be very, you know, do things on purpose and know why, or at least feel like I know why I'm doing them. And I think the first 4 years of us getting together was like, for me, like master's thesis in MLT all over again, because we would sit there and talk and hash it out. And then I would go, because I lived in Columbia, I was the lucky one. I would go and I'd visit Dr. Gordon and I would ask him questions that we had arrived upon. And often his answer would be something to the effect of, well, I did this in elementary because it really worked, or I did this thing because it made kids feel comfortable, but you guys know best. And that was really empowering, because you feel like you have all this sequence and you're all sequence and you feel like you're going to get tied down. But again, it's really to open up, you know, everything. So I totally can relate to what Enrique was saying there.
And to add upon, when I think about how I learned guitar, and I had a very, very good guitar teacher in that traditional way, and I saw also other students who could play by ear and do all that kind of stuff I would want to do. So teaching in the traditional way is not something that is wrong for me. It was just like there's this technical sequence and then the audiational sequence. And in the past, often the audiational sequence has been left to chance. And some people develop it spontaneously and it works perfectly out, everything. But people like me, it doesn't necessarily develop automatically. I have to work intensely on that topic. So that is also what our method wants to provide, that you can teach every of your students audiation. To what extent they can develop, of course, everyone's different, but they get the possibility to develop it.
Yes, that's such an important point. And it sounds like, for example, you're talking about maybe your the difference between maybe your high aptitude students, who they're the ones who can easily connect the dots. If the sequencing is left to chance, they're going to probably figure things out and it's going to be fine. But for a lot of our other students, maybe students with lower aptitude, they really need us to have that intentional sequencing. Well, this was not a question I had told you I was going to ask, but could you just tell us a little bit about what is in the books? There's a teacher book and two student books, correct? So like kind of big picture, how are they organized generally? What's in them?
I'll say that for everything that's in the book, even down to the terminology that we introduce kids to, we outside of the book developed a sequence for everything. I mean, we have a harmony. We have a harmony sequence we tied in. We have an aural, you know, the audiation sequence. Clearly, we have the technical sequence that Michael was talking about. We included plectrum or pick style and you know, finger style guitar for our guitarists out there that want those optional technical. You know, they could either do one or the other or both. We had a sequence for just everything in the book, because even the creativity sequence, which was important to me in terms of getting students to a movement sequence, you know, getting students to pulse and to move and not be static. That was an important part that's in there as well, or do these little creative activities that, you know, the younger students, especially, or any age student really wants, we want them to be able to do. So all of those were tied into each unit. And so each unit for the teacher and the teacher's guide has the direct instruction of the teacher says, student says. But for us, it was really important to include a page for the teacher in each unit that said, this is what you need to be able to do. This is, you know, to teach this lesson well, to try to remove some of the trepidation from teachers that maybe didn't feel like their guitar skills were very, you know, up to par, or maybe they were just getting into MLT like Michael was when he came to the Gimel workshop, you know. And we wanted to, you know, open up and have access to that in an easy way. I just did a workshop for SCMEA here in South Carolina, and in the room there were about 30 or so teachers, and I asked, how many of you just teach guitar? One of them raised their hand. How many of you are, you know, choir teachers that also teach guitar? And it was like 25 people. So there is, or there are, at least in South Carolina, not a whole lot of just guitar programs, even though there's a great interest in learning guitar. And so using it as a tool to teach audiation is wonderful, because you have all these choir teachers that are like, hey, do things by ear. This could be wonderful. I don't think many of them knew about MLT either. So even for teachers that don't have either guitar or MLT, they can still, or should be able to, or we hope that they would be able to pick this book up and go through the sequence and learn along with the kids. And often teachers, when they do something new, what's the old adage where they say, just stay one page ahead. Well, that it's designed like that, like literally go to that, what you need for the next unit, and then supplement the songs we include in the book with the songs the students might be interested in learning that have similar skills, and just go with it. That's really the design. We do have two student books, mainly because if a student starts in third or fourth or fifth grade, we feel like the first book will take a certain amount of time, you know, in the second book. So it was really just a pacing thing to separate those two and to not give the student this giant student book when they're first starting. In the teacher's guide, we really, really tried to include all the information the teacher would need to know without an excessive amount. And that's difficult when you're trying to explain MLT or you're trying to explain guitar sequence. So the real, I guess, gem of, you know, or crux of it would be in the unit plans, you know, that this teacher objectives page. I think Michael was really the great organizer in a lot of the layouts and things like that. He really had a gift with that. So I'll let him talk more about it if he wants.
Sure. But basically you said it, because it's that you don't have to know a lot about MLT or about guitar teaching. There's most of the stuff you need in the book. And from what you can follow there, you follow for a few units all through the whole books. And in the next sequence, when you do the books once again with another student, you have a different view on MLT and on guitar teaching also. And your teaching will develop, even though the book stays the same. But with every circle you teach through the books, your teaching will develop and will go more into, like, not following step by step, but getting used to what audiation is about and what guitar is all about, and like improvising the parts that are important. So you get into the material and into audiation with every repetition you do with teaching. And that's basically the game, the aim for us, that we provide the teacher a starting point and then let him go and develop. And maybe there will be a lot of more methods for guitar.
Speaking of where the students go, there were three girls I started in third grade, for example. In each of them, one of them plays bluegrass with her family. Family gets together and plays in the band and just enjoys it. That's her path. One of them went on to play Bach chorales, and actually in her school talent show in high school, she played a Bach chorale beautifully. And now she's a physician's assistant. And the other one went on to, she's in college, and she's a songwriter. She develops and puts music out. She's got a YouTube channel and things, and she's just really taken off. So the path is very different for those three. There's another student I started at the same time that's a nurse who plays rock in like rock band, like kind of thing, in Enrique. So they all take these different paths, but they started in the same place, and they've continued to play and continue to like love music. Because I really, in large part, they're not just playing a guitar. They're actually hearing what they want to make, and they're using the guitar as a tool to make, you know, the music and happen. I think all of them, you know, all four of them also sing because they feel comfortable singing because they had the audiation. I can tell you, if they ever get a hold of this podcast, they'd be bad. I'm not going to say any names, but they could not sing all that well in third grade. Just, you know, when we started, it's kind of, you know, they were young, but the audiation, the patterns, all that stuff really locked them in to tuning and just being really wonderful singers as well, which was a side effect. Because all I taught them in the lesson was really guitar technique. I didn't really harp on the singing, even though I was a choral teacher. So it was exciting to see how they, you know, progressed, like Michael said, where they can go is, or, you know, and every time we circle back around and teach the same thing again, we get better at it. And that's part of the goal for us.
That is so cool to hear about those three students and how you said only one of them is moving into music as a career, and yet they all continue to play and sing. I just think that is so fantastic, because how many students do we have, you know, in more traditional programs who, once they leave, they don't really make music anymore in their lives. And it really makes me wonder how, if audiation had played a bigger role in those students' musical experiences, would they be A, better equipped to continue music making for the rest of their lives? And B, would they feel more empowered to keep engaging with music?
I think that's exactly it, yeah.
I was wondering, for the listeners that might be curious, would you say your audiate guitar method, is it fitting for a particular age or level of students, or for a certain kind of teaching setting, like a one-on-one lesson versus, you know, like a guitar class?
Yeah, the lesson plans are written for, like if you were with a guitar class, but doesn't really affect anything. I use it with private students in one-on-one. I use it with my fourth and fifth grade classes at the moment. And so it is best, we would say, for maybe if you started around the first, second grade. When we were starting to write it, I had kindergartners that were using it. So it depends on a lot of factors, how if they're ready for a little bit more formal instruction or not. But the youngest I've used was with kindergartners, with really good results. We try to make it as simple as possible and break every technical aspect of the guitar to its easiest foundation, so that you could do that. You could use it with the youngest students if possible. But at the moment, I use it with my fourth and fifth grade classes, pretty much verbatim. I it's not the only thing I do, because I have to teach a bunch of other things besides guitar, right? But I try to use it with them as much as I can. With middle school as well, sixth graders, I've used the melodic units in book two, because book two alternates between melodic playing and chord and arpeggio playing, every other unit. So yeah, it is it's great for elementary, really. But if you want to use it for middle school, you could use it. You just have to change some of the songs and to make it more appealing to them, perhaps. Recordings on the website, which took a long time to do, right, Michael? It took us forever, but finally we got them done and published. So we have blues, we have some hard rock in there, we have some jazz, we have some reggae tracks. So we tried doing popular music with the for the backing tracks to make it more appealing, but definitely elementary is the best setting.
Yeah, that's what we let it out for, because we had to decide upon an age group, because you cannot write such a detailed method for everyone. That just doesn't work. And the main difference is when the kids get older and start to learn guitar, is that their motor skills develop faster. That's why we included some pages in the back of the book where they can learn full chords, so they can fret with more fingers. So they also are integrated in the learning process and do not have to do the baby fingerings with the baby chords. And they feel that like they learn on their own age level, and on their, that it's interesting for them, and like, oh, I have to learn like a baby. This is so ridiculous. And they can, oh, this chord is, oh, this sounds cool, and wow, look at that one, and oh, this is so hard to fret. And then they can get motivated and stay motivated. And on the other hand, when they would have those easy chords only, which the elementary children just need, because they cannot do really full chords at that stage. So the elementary kids need the easier fingerings for the easier chords and motor skills, and the oldest students need the more motor skill adventures, to put it that way.
I taught middle school, although my private lesson kids were elementary, third and fourth, that I think I started one in second grade. It worked really well. But as a classroom setting, I used the method in the middle school, and it worked really well. And it was really just a matter of providing more content for the skills to the kids that were ready for it, like Michael was saying, and in terms of, extra songs. But, if they're learning the C chord, for example, which for elementary schoolers, we have a single finger that's going down because their hands are smaller, it's, or the eighth grader that I teach can learn the full chord and get the same effect, and also play any song with a C chord in it. So you can just adapt it. But I think for new teachers to guitar, it's really useful for them to start. I think really the thing I want to point out is when I was in back when I was in college again, I started with fourth grade method book, you know, when I was 20. Okay. It really, even though our age is elementary, you kind of can think of it like how old, musically old are you? And if you have an 18-year-old that's not picked up guitar, not audiated, they can totally take this with a teacher and start. Now, they probably should get through it faster. The technical skills, especially, they probably won't get through the audiation part faster, though. And so you can live in that, you know, realm of teaching that audiation and that skill and just provide them more technical, you know, dexterity things to do because they should be faster at it. But they'll grow, you know, they just might. For a third grader, it might take book one be like a whole year or half a year, depending on how fast they're going. Whereas maybe an 18-year-old, it would be 2 weeks. You don't know. It's all different, but it definitely is applicable like across the board. When I presented it for South Carolina, I presented it as third to eighth grade on my session title. But that was also because I knew that in most schools in South Carolina, you would not have guitar, you know, until third grade. And also most of them would really be starting in fifth grade and middle school. So it was, you know, kind of hey, this can, you can use this for them.
Yeah, that's great to know. I just pulled out, thank you for the copy that you sent me a while back. I pulled it out just now because I'm thinking, ooh, that music education technology and modern methods course, that's, we want it to encompass a little bit of different possibilities that could be happening, particularly at the secondary level, middle school and high school, beyond band, choir, and orchestra. How might we have some different offerings for other students who are interested in those traditional ensembles? And one of the possibilities we'll be discussing is class guitar. So it's great to know that this could be useful in that setting, for example, at the middle school level. Very cool. And thank you for highlighting the difference between chronological age. So how old are we based on our birth date versus musical age? What do we need in our musical development? Because that is so important. Well, I know it is almost 10 p.m. for Michael in Germany right now, so we should probably start wrapping up. I just have two more questions. One, have any of you ever had a student or maybe a parent of a student who is a bit skeptical of the audiation-based approach to teaching guitar? Or do you find that there isn't so much of an expectation for what a guitar class or lesson should look like? Or maybe the MLT based way of doing things with guitar maybe doesn't seem so different?
It actually seems very different. And what I used to do is that the student and the parents come in and they just learn it firsthand what it's like to learn a song on an audiational basis. So they can see, the parents can directly see that it's really quickly to learn a song on a guitar, and they can do it very quickly, and they have it for their own, the students, and they do not really lose it because it stays there, and usually they do not forget the songs, and they can play it. They don't need any paper, they don't need any reminder for the song. They just can play it, and it gets really fast in the beginning. And this is like when you teach a song by ear, by rote, and then the other stuff that we teach, the audiational sequence, which just takes so much more time. Usually the parents do not see that, but they see that the students learn songs and they sing songs and they develop good. And then they are basically happy that they can play guitar. And when I first started out, like using the usual methods used here, it's like you get the book, you open up the page, and then you see the dots, and then you play. I mean, it's not really a song. It's like you play one note and play it 8 times, and it's accompanied by some kind of words. And I mean, I started like that playing guitar and I developed good, but really playing a song that sounds like music and from the beginning is such an eye opener. And yeah, it's really making music from the start.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like listening to the authors of the Jump Right In instrumental series talk about creating the instrumental series for band, orchestra, and how much more excited the kids get about actually playing tunes right out of the gate, as opposed to, you know, you mentioned just here's a note repeated 8 times, or maybe in beginning band, we might just play a whole note. So that's great to know that it's really musically engaging right away.
My wife is a band teacher, and the MLT methodology has snuck its way into everything, and people don't realize it because it's not by that name. So there's a lot of audiation kind of things that are happening in other methodologies. Well, they're just not MLT by name, you know. One of the big ones is rhythmic stuff, especially the ideas of kind of adapt and change a little bit. And it's funny because I see it for what it, I'm like, that's clearly an MLT, you know, that's an audiation sequence, but it's just not even, you know, called that at all. And for me, most of the resistance it never came from parents, because parents are just happy, like Michael said, that their kids are learning, that they sound great. Often they'll start singing as well, because, you know, even though you're teaching guitar, because they just do it along with the guitar, so why not? But most of mine has been experienced with other teachers. The teachers, having not learned that way, find a resistant to that change, especially really good teachers that just got the audiation without trying, through chance, and don't realize that not everyone can do it. And that is the hardest, like, kind of thing to crack, you know, is going, well, yes, but not everyone can do that, even though you probably did since you were 6, which is why you're a great teacher. And so then they don't see a need necessarily to change or modify instruction. And then they might get frustrated. Well, why can't the kids do this? Why can't they do that? And you're going, well, you know, so that's my experience has been, it's a resistance with teachers because it's a new thing. And not everybody needed it when they were young. And often I think if you think about who has become a teacher through non-audiation based methodology, who would become a music teacher? The people that probably through chance learned audiation. And so it's a cycle.
Yeah, that's a great point. Thank you. And actually, this is a good segue to my last question. I was wondering if you have any tips. Let's say there was a guitar teacher who wanted to start dabbling in a little bit of MLT. What might be a good starting place? What would you say could be a way for them to dip their toes in the water?
It's not a joke. Just get this book, because it is really meant for them, really. If we had this when we started, it really would have made it easier. It doesn't mean they have to use the book exactly as it is written word by word, but it is just a great guide for them. And then as they get better, they definitely can expand on it and create their own way of doing things. But I think it is great for complete beginner teachers and also for more experienced teachers as well.
And in case you cannot get the book at the moment, you could do 2 things, like use quite short songs, like something between 8 and 20 notes, and sing them. And then you teach the students completely without something written down. You do not write down any names. You do not write down any colors or something. You just play it for them and help them develop it on their guitar so that they can play it. And when you do it like that for about a month, you will see a difference in that kind of student. And when you start a student right away with notation or whatever you do. So you can test it. Do some students you start with without notation, do the same songs, and then do some with notation, do the same songs, and just compare and see what comes up and what things you can improve and you can think of to develop into that sort of teaching. Because I mean, MLT is a really big theoretical thing, and in my teaching I do not want to be theoretical, but I want to be practical. And that's what you can do. You can leave the notation out and just have the student develop it by rote, and then you will see a difference.
On the area of notation, which I know a lot of teachers, they're fearful of, if we don't go to notation, well, how are the kids going to read? You know, and this thing that I've been doing has worked up to now. Why should I change it? And just, I know it's a little anecdotal because it's me. I teach, you know, choral sight reading, and I am never concerned with teaching reading, because to me, the big stopgap for a, you know, child's ability to read is their ear. They can know the notes all day long and just decipher the notes. And it's very, very obvious in choral music where there's no instrument to play it on, you know. And I'm a big proponent, for example, that elementary school, with the limited time they have with kids, just sing and do patterns. Who cares about notation? You know, when I was teaching the girl that did the chorale when she was in, actually passed her on to a new, a higher level teacher, because she got better than me by the time she was in 10th grade. I never concerned myself with teaching her notation. It was the aural skills, and it led in an easy way to all these other skills. And all of a sudden she's, you know, sight reading on guitar, which I consider to be one of the most difficult instruments to sight read for, because of the nature of just the shifting that you have to do when you're reading. But it was never a concern. I don't think teachers need to approach notation first or be beholden to it, because if you train their ears, they will be good music readers, you know. And that's just, I think, the why of why MLT, or why use this book as a resource for you, or why do what Michael was just suggesting by comparing them? Because I think he very comfortably knows at this point that if you do compare those two sets of students, you will see a drastic difference in the ones that you had audiate and sing, and their playing and their music ability. And, you know, just kind of not even going to be close. So that's what I would say about your question.
Yes, that is terrific. Thank you for hammering that home. And I think that is a great note to end on. So thank you so much, Enrique, Stephen, Michael, for making the time to do this. I really appreciate this, and I'm sure the listeners enjoyed hearing from you. So thank you all for being on.
Thank you for inviting us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
Well, I really enjoyed that conversation with Enrique, Stephen, and Michael, and I hope you did too. And if you would like to win a bundle that includes the Audiate Teacher's Guide and student books from sponsored GIA publications, you can enter in one of a few ways. One is to go to the Audiate Method website, which is www.audiate-guitar.com, and share it from your social media, or share a screen cap of the books if you're using Instagram. This could just be a post that says something like, "I can't wait to check out this new resource." Then you can either tag the Everyday Musicality podcast page if you're posting on Facebook, or if you're posting on Instagram or Twitter. I don't have podcast accounts on those platforms, but you could email a screen cap of your post to everydaymusicality@gmail.com. This is my preferred way for you to enter, because it helps get the word out about this great new resource. However, I know not everybody is on social media or wants to share that way, so another way you can enter is to email everydaymusicality@gmail.com and simply put, "I want to audiate" as the subject line. But as an extra incentive for entering the giveaway via social media, if you do it that way, I'll give you 2 entries to increase your odds of getting picked by the random number generator. However you choose to enter, just be sure to get your entry in by Friday, March 31st, because I'll announce the winner in the next episode, which will go live on April 4th. Also, don't forget that our other podcast sponsor who covers our web hosting fees, the Gordon Institute for Music Learning, will be hosting a virtual faculty hangout this Sunday, March 26th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And this one will have a focus on choral applications of MLT with 2 fabulous humans, Josh Palki and Stuart Chapman Hill, who were part of the team that developed the proposal for the new choral track of the Gamwell Professional Development Levels that will be held for the very first time this summer. I'll link to that faculty hangout event description on the Gamwell website in the show notes in case you'd like to register. Remember, these events take place via Zoom and are a great way to engage in some informal conversations about MLT and also to have your burning questions answered. Just be sure to register by this Thursday, March 23rd, because registration closes at 11:59 p.m. on Thursday. Also, mark your calendar for the next faculty hangout, which will have an early childhood focus with Allison Reynolds on Tuesday, April 4th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And speaking of the Gamwell Professional Development Levels courses, I'll also post a link in the show notes to this summer's offerings in case you'd like to check those out. And also, feel free to email me if you have any questions at all about those courses to see if they seem like a good fit for you in this next step on your MLT journey. In the meantime, if you have questions, comments, or suggestions for future episodes, please get in touch. You can email me or send me a voice memo at everydaymusicality@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and let's keep musicking every day.